Yeah, well, look, first of all, it was over the minor teams of that year. Tom Rossiter was our chairman of the GA club that time at Glenbarrentown. We had just finished a training session that evening, and Tom came over and he asked a fellow by the name of Jim Caulfield. He's looking at doing a documentary, and he's asked us to be part of it. And he said he was doing a documentary on the history of hurling. We weren't aware of the catty of this stage. He just asked, were we interested in talking to Jim? So I said, look, I have a word with Jim. And Jim explained to us the situation. He explained about the catty and all this. And he said, would you be interested in we come over some evening and I'll give you a briefing on it? And I said, that's no bother. I'll talk to the players and all involved. And I spoke to the players. They were all on for it. And sure, like I said, we were probably thinking it was more hurling-based than it was on the cricket end. So the guys were keen to go over. We went over and Jim gave us a briefing, the whole lot. You can see in the beginning of the documentary where the guys were in their casual jerseys and all that, and that's where the briefing was being given to us. So we were to go over the next day anyway and bring our kind of old attire to wear for the videoing. And probably didn't show that much of it on the video, but it did show aerial clips where we were playing the game of old style hurling, and you can see on it where the goalposts were up and all that. And the guys that, when I brought them over, that's mostly what they played over there. They didn't play the catty as much, as you can see in the clips as well. Most of the older guys stayed on to do that, and we were probably very competitive in that end of it, but the guys took part in the dancing and all that sort of thing. Yeah. You know, so Jim like had everything kind of organised. But look, it was as much of a history lesson to us as it was anything else, because we didn't really know anything about it, you know.
Yeah, we were speaking to Jim there, and he seems like a really great character, you know, full of history and full of knowledge about this game and, you know, full of love for it as well, which is great to see. And when you showed up on the day, you thought you were making a history of hurling program, and then you had to end up doing a bit of dancing, a bit of, you know, old-style hurling, a bit of old-style cricket. Were you a bit apprehensive on the day when you were faced with the reality of what you were doing?
Not really. I mean, suppose when you got there that morning, I mean, look, it's a little bit older, a little bit more patient, I suppose, than the guys that were 17, 18, who were the minors, like, you know. They were very keen to get out onto the pitch and play, which is what you would have been teaching them to do on a daily basis when you're coaching them. So you can understand that appetite. And I suppose when you're a younger lad, you're not as patient as the likes of what I would have been. I was interested to know what this game was about. Just went along with the flow, I suppose, as much as anything. And I was listening to an awful lot of what Jim was telling us. You know, like you said, a very knowledgeable man. He must have done a serious amount of research. And as you can see from the documentary, he had travelled an awful lot, been involved in the forces and all that sort of thing. Played this game, you can see why it caught on, because, as he said, minimal expense, minimal amount of gear required. Basically, play with a branch that you could take off the hedgerow or stuff like that. But like I said, the guys, once the game came along, the young lads loved us, you know. And as you can see, once we played that game, the lads kind of probably got a little bit tired. And I said, look, lads, you're okay to go, because we didn't need the same numbers to play the game of catty. But also, look at, you can see in the video clips, you can see some of the parents got involved, and they were in the background when the dancing was going on and the games were going on, and they also dressed up as well. I was interested to know what was going on with this, just as much as the parents, so they had no problem joining in the background just to see what it was like firsthand in front row seat, I suppose.
Sure, and look, it does look like great fun on the footage anyway, but it is such an unusual game, I suppose, and if you're not coming from a cricket background, you might have got a bit confused when you were looking at the catty. Did it take you long to actually learn how to play it?
No, I suppose, let's say, if I was the kid's age at 17, 18, it would have. But like when you get a bit older, I'm not saying I've played cricket or anything like that. I've watched it on TV. I've looked at it, I suppose, in Ireland in the last number of years. Starting to hit the forefront a little bit more in the cricket world, I suppose. Mm. You try to learn a little bit more about it. So when Jim was explaining this, you can see how the game of cricket formed. It's his theory on it. You can see that, you know, there is a lot of belief in it, that it did start in Ireland. I was just talking to a guy that I delivered to him across the bag as well, and he said he played a similar form of the game where he's from in Dublin. My father is from Modern Town there, Eden Vale. He said he played catty as well. It was known as catty, and he played it in Eden Vale Avenue up there. So, like I said, I wasn't that aware of the game of catty. But once Jim was explaining to me, it was easy enough to catch on to it, you know. And you can see how the rules of cricket and how so many sayings are connected with both sides. But my father actually came to the day that the video was shown, and sure, himself and Jim, they're of similar age. just spent an awful lot of time talking about, and sure, you know, it was a great day out.
Yeah, look, it certainly sounds like it anyway. And PJ, you're somebody who's worked in underage Gaelic games for a while now, and I know this was kind of a one-off event and they won't be doing this every week, but it must be good for players to go out and experience other sports as well. You know, lads going up to about 18, most of them will be playing soccer, Gaelic games, rugby, all that kind of stuff. Are you somebody who's, you know, encouraging players to go and broaden their horizons right up until, you know, kind of minor level? Or do you think that maybe earlier on in their careers, if they're going to be, you know, a county level Gaelic footballer, that's what they should be focusing on from, you know, like 12 maybe?
Yeah, look, I have two young kids at the moment myself. One is 11, one is 8. They're involved in, let's say, my girl is 11. She plays Camogie ladies football. She's done a bit of gymnastics and stuff like that. He's 8. He's into everything. He plays a little bit of soccer, football, hurling, bit of boxing, you know, athletics. And I'm all on for kids playing and doing as many sport and activities as much as they can, especially up to their maybe, you know, at least 15, 16 years of age. And mostly I would say because of the fundamental movements of so many different types of sports. But I do think once you get from 16 and start going up towards 20 the next 4 years, you need to possibly start picking the sport that you prefer, because there's so much time that's required. Even in the amateur games now, there's so much time to spend from even 16 to 20 in your development in the specific sport that you're going to take to. And let's say that's even GAA. From 16 to 20, they're probably starting to do a lot of strength and core work and things like that. But that strength and core work is sometimes designed specifically for, let it be hurling or football, or even let it be soccer, tennis, whatever way, because each sport has a different kind of a strength aspect to it. And unfortunately, that is the way it's gone. While you might like for them to play a little bit longer, where I suppose in my time you probably played a bit longer in whatever sports you were doing, but I just think you're going to fall behind if you don't focus on your preferred sport from the 16 years of age onwards. That'd be my feeling. Now, I do, like I said, I'm mad GAA, hurling football, but I have my own kids doing whatever they can. And if they don't pick GAA, I'm not that worried or anything, like I won't be disappointed, as long as they're active and doing something. Pick whatever they prefer, you know.
And your club there, Glenbarrentown, it's a proper dual club, especially when it comes to the underage success that you've had. Obviously, getting to the two county finals in minor, a great rivalry being built up there with Gorey, winning one and losing one, which I suppose isn't the worst situation in the world, because 1-1, you've got that success, you know, you can bask in that glory for the year, but then losing the other one, it gives you that drive and determination, I suppose, to go one better next year too.
Yeah, look, at the underage in the GA club out there has been relatively very strong over the last possibly 15 to 20 years, you know. I mean, when I was growing up, my father would have had to come out from the town and he would have done an awful lot of coaching out there. In their adult teams, they were probably starting in the likes of junior and all that coming through, and they eventually got the one intermediate honours there in 87, 88, in senior then for an awful long time. We've been there ever since. The underage got an awful lot stronger from there on, and we're competing in a lot of finals in the top grades, and we've winning an awful lot in underage. And like you said there, we've been in the dual minor finals last year. I think back in 2009, we won the double in minor hurling and football. One thing we probably struggled on, we've won one senior football championship. We've probably been in something like 8 or 9 county senior finals. We've only won adult title out of that. You know, some guys would say, look, we haven't brought the same success to adult level. The only thing I would say is if you look at our adult teams now, senior hurling semi-final last year, senior football quarter-final, we won the intermediate A football, which is we're now second team football at intermediate, and we're in a junior level, junior proper of the hurling. And then we've got two junior B teams. So while the rewards are maybe not there on silverware, we've got three adult teams on board. And I think that speaks for itself in relation to the works which go into the club, that you have those numbers that are retained when they're coming to that age group. I mean, being a rural club, it's not often the numbers are that big. But luckily enough, like I said, there's an awful lot of work going into an underage. My brother Willie does a lot of work in the schools, along with an awful lot of people that he recruits through that. But he is probably the core element of getting those people in there in the schools. And I think it's the key element that we have such big numbers in underage, and possibly in most teams in underage in ladies football, Camogie, and the men's, we have two teams in a lot of the grades.
Yeah, plenty of good times ahead for Glyn Burntown, you'd have to say. And you were telling me just before we started this chat that you are going to step away from your role with the senior footballers this year, focusing on your own junior football career. Plenty of success available at that level too, so the best of luck with that. And just taking a look at the Gaelic Games picture for 2021, obviously we're into mid-January now. County teams should be back training. They're not. The COVID numbers are starting to fly up once again. But from your own point of view, I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball here at the minute, but do you think that we will be able to see, you know, fans at games once again, and especially for the local championships? They were sorely missed last year, and, you know, ourselves in South East and the Wexford GAA TV, we did our best to bring the games to people, but it's just not the same for people being there. Do you think that we will be able to go actually watch our teams play this year?
Look, it was just so much in the unknown, to be sure. It would be great to see it, but look, at safety has to come first. I mean, I'm post here myself at the moment, and I just remember when it came back in last March. Look, I haven't had really much time off. I'm one of the lucky guys in there that I've had work. Finances are still well looked after. While sometimes you might complain about being busy, like, and things like that, it's great to have the work. But look, at the GA stopped for a long period of time. My wife was at home, able to work from home, but she was there tutoring the kids from home. Not that easy. Then once the GA came back in, while there were restricted, just great to get down to the GA pitch and be able to see a bit of activity going on. And I would say guys that are, say, maybe from 18 to 25, they need something to keep them active, because apart from bars and things like that being closed, the social aspect is not there for them. So the social outcome would have been the GA. And I mean, for somebody like me who's 43 years of age, I'm happy enough to go home and sit down and relax and things like that. You know, it's easier for me to keep myself occupied. I have an awful lot of things to do around the household. But look, going back to the GA, it was great to get games ahead, even apart, even if it was 100 people in the stadium. You know, it's just something great for to see people doing. It's great for the community, even though some people couldn't get there. It's just a bit of a banter when you go down, you have a few people to talk to. Am I going to get a ticket this week, you know? It's just how well are they going to get this vaccine rolled out? It's a struggle to get hands on the vaccine. Don't mind get it rolled out. There's going to be so many people in line for it first off. By the time it gets down to the kids and the schools and all of this, to get back to normality, I'm probably guessing, you know, September, October. So we're probably in the end of our championship then. Hard to see crowds being in the parks and stadiums by then. Maybe with limited numbers, possibly. But look, I think to start off with, to keep everybody safe, I think if we can just get the games going again and back in the grounds, that would be a great start.